Channing and Mackenzie here, and you're listening to Freshman Founders,
a podcast for people who are interested in starting their first business and want to know how it really works.
Whether you're a business major, interested in the startup lifestyle, or passionate about making a particular change in the world,
this podcast is the one for you.
Welcome back to Freshman Founders.
We are excited for this episode today. We feel like this topic is extra pertinent to the state of things, but it's something that we experience throughout the growth of the business. And that is, what do you do as a team and personally to actually get through those tough times when they're happening?
Yes. And obviously, everybody's in a bit of a tough time now, especially small businesses, entrepreneurs, and, you know, everybody just working from home, not going to school. Things are different than they were 6 months ago and a year ago. So everybody's been having a lot of ups and downs, I would say. I know I have.
Yeah. And when those ups and downs happen, I feel like there's a narrative always on the, oh, so burnout's happening, or the tough time's happening, or we're in it. But how do we actually get through it together and just as humans? And I don't know, I hope this is helpful, but I feel like if we share how we have gotten through it multiple times,
yeah,
and how we are getting through it now, that might be helpful from a business owner perspective.
I think for us, what's worked really well is honesty too, and just admitting to yourself first off, and then somebody on the team. Obviously, we have each other we can talk about this with, and we try to be really open with our coworkers that, you know, let's talk about it if you're really struggling. And it's really hard to be honest with yourself with this kind of thing. As an entrepreneur, it's tough to admit you're really not motivated, or it's, you know, as driven as you were X amount of months ago. It's hard to admit that to yourself because you're always in this go, 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 what's the next thing, nothing is good enough mindset. And so it is important to just slow down and like self-assess.
Yes. And I feel like you, Kens, are really good at that, because I have learned to become comfortable with that, because you would get vulnerable with me and tell me, I'm like, oh, it's okay to share that. A, like, so important to share that with your business partner, but two, to share with yourself, most importantly, like you're saying. And I think too, the more we have done that through the phases of tough times, now also there's almost this peace about admitting it, because we've been through it enough that we know it's just a period.
Yeah,
it's just a phase.
It's not forever.
Yeah. And it's almost like once you admit it, it's so much easier and it doesn't even feel as bad.
I think I've gotten good at admitting it and it's like knowing myself where I am. But what I'm not good at is getting out of it necessarily, or knowing what I have to do to get back into the groove of things. Every time I have gone through ups and downs, it's been kind of just, well, you just have to wake up and keep going, but it would be good to have like some set things in process in your life that really just help you pull out of it. And I guess I do know what those are, because obviously I'm not always you know, down. I do get back up every time. So I guess talking about more of what those things are will be helpful.
Yeah. Are you down to share an example of when you have felt that, and then what were the things, maybe even at first subconsciously, you did to get through it?
Well, I know, I mean, COVID times now, is the ups and downs are more frequent, I would say, and maybe the downs last longer than they did before, just because the uncertainty is stressful. It is not, and the uncertainty still, that we still don't know when exactly things are going to be quote normal again. So yes, it feels better because I'm now comfortable with how things are. Yes, we have to wear masks, you can't go to certain places, there's these rules that you just get used to, but it doesn't mean everything, you know, this isn't going to be this way forever. So not knowing when those things that we really miss are going to be back sucks.
Yeah.
So some things I know that always really help our talking to other people. And a lot of times too, I do reach for people that are internally just motivating, a lot of mentors, people that have been through a lot more than we have, just being honest and also knowing that you might not have to have a solution that day or that minute, but it is going to be okay.
Yeah, I think we have always naturally looked to our mentors in those tough business times, because that's kind of how the company started in the first place, was us learning through our mentor community. And yeah, how much better it is to talk with someone who's been through it, but then also might, in this case, be going through it too.
Yeah. What about you? What do you think are things you know you can go to that always kind of help pick you back up?
Yeah, honestly, when thinking about this episode, I was actually surprised that I have just recently discovered what it actually is. Kind of like what you're saying, that you didn't maybe know this is what you were going to, but it was. And personally, when I'm in a tough spot, and then unfortunately that of course directly correlates my output to Eva, but I noticed that what happens, it's kind of like a mind-blowing thing for me to realize, but I always move to something creative, which I was always confused growing up. Like, why was I in such a creative atmosphere? I didn't really get it. Maybe it was just because I was this angsty teen who always needed to create to get it out, going into like songwriting major and all that stuff. But then once I was in that major, it didn't feel right. But now when I'm like in the tough times, I move to like, that's the only time I ever really feel the need to write a song or to read poetry or to, you know, experience music on a really deep level. Not the only time, but a big time for me. Mm. So when I'm having a tough time, I move to creativity, and it also helps remind me like why we're doing this. And that's been surprising to see, because I did not think those two things would be tied together.
Totally makes sense. And I think I do that in a way too, but something that I know I need to work on in that quote escape, that thing that, you know, you're using to not think about work or not think about stress. Even that, I have a hard time not having those kind of boundaries on, you know, even say I do something that's totally not work, that's totally creative, or just something I'm interested in, like read a book or even listen to a podcast, like even just consuming content, I am pretty quickly setting goals and boundaries around those things, even that it almost becomes can become stressful. Mm. And that's like, I'm using those things to escape. And then it's at the same time, I'm like, okay, I wanted to just pick up a fiction book because it would be fun. And then I'm like, oh, well, you haven't read it in 2 days, so you're slacking. You know, you need to get this yeah. read in 2 weeks. Like, what are you doing with your
life? Chop, chop.
And that's not the point at all. Or when I'm reading, too, I'll find myself, you know, counting how many pages are left. And it's like, okay, how long until I can complete this, accomplish this goal of a task, rather than you're reading it to learn and to escape and to enjoy it. Like, why are you racing to finish it?
That is such a good point, and something I feel like our culture is really driven towards is that like accomplish and achievement mode. And I was actually listening to a podcast where for the first time someone had said it like this, and it made so much sense to me personally. But they were like, if you may not think you have an addictive personality if you're not addicted to the things that get, you know, the big red X yeah. in society, but are you, you know, addicted to setting goals? Are you addicted to having a certain kind of workout routine? And if you don't achieve that, then you failed. And I started thinking about even all the things that are supposed to give me balance, I'm kind of treating it like an addictive workflow.
That's crazy. I hadn't thought about it like that, but I mean, definitely makes sense.
Yeah, and I think we naturally do our best when we are truly more balanced, when there really is time on the calendar to just completely unplug. We don't really offer ourselves much of that. But I even think about last night, you know, we had a, don't worry, socially distanced, like hang with our team. And I came back from that so full. There wasn't a goal. There wasn't an agenda to that. And it made on so many accounts me feel like we can get through anything together.
Yeah, that's so true. I love having the team, you know, just communicating to the team. And it works because we're small, but communicating like we're equals in every way. And we are, you know, it's like we're a small team. There's no reason that we as the founders, quote, management, have to not fill them in on how we're feeling about things or vice versa. I mean, obviously that doesn't work in every type of organization, or if your business has more than five people, it might not, you know, not everyone can always talk to each other, but I think that's good that we've made that a priority as a small company.
Yeah. And I feel like that's, it's a natural essence that will flow into the bigger version. But I always, I think a lot about Brené Brown and her mantra with leadership doesn't have to be fearful anymore. It should actually, you should lead with compassion and love. And that too, I think a lot of maybe traditional businesses seems like hokey, but I think like you, back to what you were saying about being honest with yourself and with your team and saying like, it's okay that things aren't great, but we're going to get through it. It is a sense of being vulnerable with them
and definitely
being on the same level.
Yeah. Being a leader with workers and employees that, you know, kind of rely on you is different. You have to act a different way with them than you would maybe yourself. Certainly we're talking about being open and letting everybody know, but I probably wouldn't go to our team huddle in the morning and say, I'm feeling like shit, X, Y, Z, everything sucks, and I have no solution in mind. Like, maybe I might bring it up 2 days later when I've calmed down a bit or figured something out. Fortunately, I could do that with you as my co-founder, but certainly there are some boundaries.
Totally. And I think what's interesting about when thinking about what do we do to get through tough times, it's all connected, but there is like a clear difference between, okay, personally with myself, together with my co-founder, and then as a team.
Yeah, true. There's those three kind of silos.
Mm-hmm. And right there, that's kind of a strategy that maybe we could start implementing when we do have a tough time. It's like, okay, let me start with myself and let me assess. And what are some things I can do to, you know, start to help myself through this? And then, okay, let me have a conversation with my co-founder. And then what really needs to change or edit with a team setting?
Yeah, because it's kind of a trickle down. Like, you can't be a great leader if you're not doing well personally. And, you know, I wouldn't be a good co-founder or even member of the company if I'm doing awful personally and not telling anybody about it. It's everything around me is going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes back to being honest with yourself and then kind of implementing that strategy.
Yeah. It's almost like a checklist, which it's making a lot of sense to me right now, talking it through on the pod, but
learning.
Yes. It's like, it's a way to really see how intense this tough time is. If you go to stage one of assessing with yourself and then you come out of that being like, okay, I feel better. Well, awesome. Keep going.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot of times where we do end up coming to each other, figuring it out. And then we're like, all right, let's keep going.
I think specifically with COVID and the pandemic really affecting our business is different because it's not something we're out of yet, and it's not something we probably will be out of for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So normally when there's, you know, a negative feeling, you know, when you're kind of at that low at that point, it does go away and things do get better. And not to say things haven't been good or we haven't had wins during this time, but it is still like a big mystery that does very much affect our business. So I think with that too, being realistic, again, with yourself, with each other, and just knowing, like, bottom line, we need to make this number we need to make this type kind of revenue this month and we'll be fine. And then we'll worry about next month. Is a good thing too, just to know that. So you just don't get lost in it, because it's so easy to just melt into the week and you're like, what day is it? I'm working from home. Things are blending together. It sucks.
Yes. And I think too, something that we have done to get through that uncertainty is we've also, it's okay, we have edited our expectations, that we've edited what we expect even of the business, and it's just more different metrics that we're focused on, because
true,
it's not going to be obviously the projections or the key performance indicators that we were basing off of in January. Well, that's how it is in you know, most advancement of a business, even without a pandemic. But I think because of this situation, it's allowed us to almost think more nimbly and think more quickly.
I think so. And I think we're willing to try things that we might not have tried before, because like, we're at that point, it's like, what have we got to lose? We've had to completely pivot our business. So we know we've gotten through 6 months and we're doing fine. What are those crazy things we can try to get us further?
Exactly. There's been a good bit of them.
Definitely.
And that helps. Something I'd be down to talk about, it's surprising to me that really this is the first time that I think felt true burnout. And it's hard for me to admit that, going back to what you were saying, we don't want to admit that things are tough. But mid-July, I was really struggling. I was all the things, like, it's almost like you're checking the boxes off the symptoms and you can't believe you actually have it. But it was like, I was exhausted without doing anything. It was just, I felt like so much weight on me, and it was really tough to even move forward. And then, and it's hard also, I think, as co-founders of a business to take that time away, especially in a time like this. And I was forced to in a way, to go see my family. And I joke that sometimes you need a vacation after seeing your family on a vacation.
Yeah.
But this one was different, I think, because I needed it so much. And even though we really had one of the craziest weeks ever during that time I was away, there was something about just being in a new setting, which really blew my mind how much that rejuvenated me. Mm. And when I think about it, I'm like, well, duh. I've been in this like house for 6 months straight in Nashville. And when has that ever happened before? There's usually like a little weekend getaway. Mm, and there was, but this was definitely different. And I came back so refueled, and it reminded me, like, it's okay to take that time and you actually need it. I know people would always say that to me. They're like, you're going to be a better leader if you could take that time. I'm like, bullshit. I'm going to push through it. I don't need that. Oh, I did. It was rough. And I actually, like, I don't know if maybe you could tell, here I am being like, this is how we get through tough times. And I hadn't really talked to you about it, but that was a moment I was like, what is going on with me?
It's tough. It's, being a founder and knowing that people's livelihoods kind of relies on you as far as them getting paid. And all of the artists that we book, all of our, you know, people in our community that look at how our growth is stressful to be. It's hard to be honest about being burnt out and being stressed or not knowing like a solution for problems. It's really hard. So thank God we do, like we always say, have each other to be able to be like, all right, well, at least I can talk to one person about this. But I definitely encourage anybody in a situation of being whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you work for a huge company, I think the same lesson still applies, that you definitely have to talk to people around you. Hopefully there is somebody, you know, if it's really work focused and the work is what's stressing you out, you can talk to somebody at work or somebody that at least understands your work. And if you can't, I'm sure there's plenty of examples of people who can't necessarily talk about it with anybody else. They just might not understand or relate. But in those settings, we do have to like really bump up the personal motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about a couple of things there that we do. I think at the minimum things you could do is watch a TED Talk, find a new podcast. Like those are people that you can quote, relate to. Yeah, you're not talking to somebody personally or they're not getting feedback from you. But I think there's so much content out there. You will be able to find talks or interviews about the situation that you're going through.
Yeah, I really think like self-help gets such a bad rep. Even me, like when I'm in a bookstore and I see that section, I'm like, blue. But yet I read a
so
lot
true.
Of self-help books. And it's like, self-help is like, there's so many different categories of that. It's like, how can I help myself get through this tough time at work? How can I help myself through this transition at home? And there's definitely resources out there. And just to read something that hits home, there's nothing better when you're feeling like it's a tough, difficult time that doesn't make sense.
And I'll find a lot of times too that a professional speaker or an author if I'm reading it in a book, they can enunciate it. I guess that's the right
word. So much better.
They can get across that point that I don't even know I'm feeling until I hear someone else say it. And I'm like, oh, exactly. Like they hit the nail on the head. Yes, that's what I'm feeling. That's why I feel this way.
As you guys know, Mackenzie and I, we went to Belmont University and we took entrepreneurship classes together and learned, you know, some of the key points of how to build a business there. And we're so thankful that the Belmont University Center for Entrepreneurship is sponsoring Freshman Founders. And the Center of Entrepreneurship has tons of resources to support student entrepreneurs, such as 2 on-campus co-working spaces, competitions throughout the year, free business building clinics, and mentorship and grant opportunities.
Belmont is also ranked by the Princeton Review as one of the top 25 entrepreneurship programs in the nation and the only one in Tennessee. The Center for Entrepreneurship guides students through every phase of their entrepreneurial journey, beginning their freshman year and lasting a lifetime.
I felt like that honestly just happened to me yesterday. And it's crazy how it always seems, I don't know about you, Kenz, but I feel like when we really need something, it kind of happens at the right moment. Maybe that's just like we're guided there somehow. We're meant to experience that at that time. But I read this book yesterday, just this little one. And real quick, it's called What Now? By Ann Patchett, and it's actually a commencement speech that she gave to her alma mater.
Nice.
And it's just it's really short. And I don't know why, I just picked it up and like read it yesterday. It took me 30 minutes. And it's just all about like, it's okay that we are always being asked what now, and let's feel empowered by that. And that's actually a joy rather than it being so scary that we don't know what's coming next. Let's like hone that in and enjoy that. She, again, author, say it way better than us.
Yeah.
But it was like, wow, what a perfect thing that I needed to hear.
I love that. And I think maybe something that might help too is if someone asks you what now in a situation and you're like, whoa, I don't know. I'm very overwhelmed by that question. I don't know how to answer. I would start by thinking about the past a little bit. Maybe, okay, look how far I've come since 3 months ago, whatever timeline, you know, this is how much has changed. This is how much has improved. I'm not going to get crazy overwhelmed by thinking about the future. I have to start with, okay, I've already gotten through this. Like I am tough. I've already done this much. Like I can get through another year.
Mm-hmm. I like being able to look back and also give yourself some positive reinforcement because we need it. I wanted to ask you, in the business, when we are in a tough phase, when it just feels like things are really bleak, what helps you in particular with either when we talk or when the team does something? What specifically works for you?
Well, I always know everything's going to be okay. I have that kind of foundation of comfort now that I don't think I had before. I mean, absolute worst case scenario, our business fails. We have no money. We're in debt. That sounds like the worst possible thing. Okay. We are not going to be homeless. There's plenty of people that care about us that would like take us in. And we get a job, you know, we go work for somebody else. Like, I don't want to do that right now. But if that's the worst case scenario,
doing pretty well,
a lot better than many people's worst case scenarios. So putting it into perspective, I think helps. And then too, Tim Ferriss talks about one of his like big famous talks is fear setting, I think is what it's called. And it's like the opposite of goal setting. It's like, okay, what is the worst possible thing that could happen? What are my like top three biggest fears? And what are the things that I have to do to make those not happen?
Wow.
Or if they do happen, what do I do? And then it just becomes way more comfortable than, you know, if they actually do happen, or you can kind of prepare yourself to know there probably won't. Like, that's the worst case scenario. It's unlikely that that actually does go down.
Wow, that is so wild. Just you saying that, like, I feel like I would have more comfort setting my fears out loud than goals. Because it's like, We all know goals, you're shooting for them, but fears, it's like, at least I can see that in the face. And know that that could happen and then think back. I love that.
That's awesome. it just kind of flips the how people normally do it is, you know, everybody has goals, everybody sets goals and tries to accomplish them. And you really can accomplish whatever you set your mind to, as cheesy as that sounds. But I think it's kind of also important just to think about worst case scenario. Let's think about it. People run from fear and are so scared to actually sit and think about fear or think about their, you know, the worst case scenario happening, where it's like, if you just spend some time with it and actually, you know, do 10 minutes of suffering in a way of thinking about how awful it could be.
Yes.
It's going to make that actual fear so much less bad if it were to happen.
Man, that I just took some gold away. Thank you, Ken. That's awesome. It really is. And I love what you were saying about just that perspective check. To me, I call that my gratitude check. I really try to think about the basic things that I have that so many people do not get to have. I have shelter. I have food. I have water. Great. I can survive.
Right. Right. And we have skills, and we're we know how to talk to people. Like, there's things too that even upon just basic things that we need to live, like we could do something else. Like, worst case scenario, work wise obviously we need to work to make money to survive, but like I'm very confident that we could figure something else out if this business that we pour all of our energy into crashes and burns.
Dude, I gotta tell you, I was driving yesterday and I had this moment that I had never had before. And I feel like you and I are also experiencing a lot of personal growth right now. There's just a lot of shifts in life. Don't want to get emotional, but I was having this moment. I literally was passing, I was on Belmont Boulevard, how odd, passing Woodmont, and I was like, I had this moment where I was like, man, I hope I get to build another business with Ken's. And it's pretty wild that it's like, if you think about all the shit we've been through And damn. I'm like, I can't wait to do it again too. I'm loving it right now, but I hope one day we can do it again. It's like that, I think, just shows that no matter the difficulties,
yeah,
it's all worth it because we know it will all be okay. Just like you said.
And I mean, we're 26 years old. That number feels old. That feels like kind of old right now. I mean, we met when we were 18. So like, we've obviously come a long way, but there are plenty of people that figure it out way later than we have, and not like we've at all figured it out, but we have enough experience under our belt to not have a mental breakdown if something were to go wrong.
Oh, totally. We are so lucky that we have gotten to do this. It has set us up for just wisdom, I think, reflection, experience. And I think that it almost helps, like, what we have been through with the business, it has helped me in my personal life when those personal tough times happen. So I think that is pretty worthwhile to all the entrepreneurs out there.
So there's gonna be highs, there's gonna be lows. We're okay right now.
We're okay.
We're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be another time, probably soon, that we're one of us or both of us or one of our team members is feeling really low and really hopeless.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think you should do next time? What are some things that you would start with?
Yeah, I mean, even you just saying that now, I'm like, I really wish, not to be cheesy, I really wish we... And also the team should have this opportunity too if they want it. But like, honestly, like a code word, it's just so much, just to know that you can just say it and people can really almost instantly know where you're at. And I hope that we can be faster to that together, because I know me personally, I kind of wallow in it to really make sure is that the case. But sometimes it's like, after we talk, I feel so much better. So I hope that I can streamline that.
Yes, a safe word. I love it.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel
warthog.
Like, yeah, warthog. All right.
You just said wallow, and I thought of like a pig rolling around.
Perfect. All right. Well, warthog. If you guys ever hear us say that, run away. No,
it's tough.
I think that would be helpful, because I also, with you, I know, like, we're so lucky that we have this, you know, partnership to be able to know I can always go to you. I can hit you up at any time, any hour, any minute and tell you this. But the dearest people on our team, you know, I don't know if they feel like they could. And I want that culture soon.
Yeah.
Because I so agree, like, maybe it's not like the first immediate thing you share on a Monday morning, all hands, but I want us to all have that culture. And I really think that's kind of come out of talking about this right now. So that's good. In my opinion, what do you think?
I think just acknowledging that it's going to happen again is a good start. And that if you've gotten through it this many times, you will get through the next one. I know I just feel some confidence, some comfort in what we've already done. And again, you know, acknowledging the worst case scenario, sitting with that discomfort for 5 minutes and realizing that it is not so bad. You know, it's, yeah, there's things that are bad. And at the time you're like, this is the end of the world. Absolute, the worst thing that could have happened did. But you will move on. Like, you're not going to be suffering or feeling that way forever.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, something that just made me think of was that I know that we are talking about tough times, but maybe we should, like, define what those tough times have been, like, or how they've come across so people...
It's a good idea, and everybody's is going to be different.
Totally.
But we know kind of what our tough times are. It's like, okay, money's getting low. Mm-hmm. That's always going to be stressful. That's going to be kind of a flag that goes up for, okay, prep mentally.
Mentally prep.
So certainly in a business, like money.
Mm-hmm.
But
I feel like too, for a startup, there is so much, and I don't know if this sounds dramatic that this feels like a tough time to me, but it does, because it's like the potential success and potential product fit. It's like when that's not jiving, it overwhelms me so much. When it's like, wait, why are these assumptions not working? Why are these clients not using this like we had hoped? What does that mean? And it like takes me to a downward spiral. I think too, like why hopefully we balance each other out well is you are like such an amazing person at product and seeing like, okay, this is not working now. This is the end goal. How do we get there? When I look at something like that, it's just a big mess to me. I'm like, I don't know how we are going to take this thing and make it better. And that to me even feels like a tough time that can span a day all the way to like, it's a couple months of iterating on the product before people get to experience it.
Yeah, it's interesting that product like that doesn't stress me out, but I think
it doesn't at all. It doesn't stress you?
No.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Awesome. That doesn't,
that like jives with me.
Oh, that's so cool.
That like gets me fired up, like thinking about features that somebody may want and then going to find out that they do gets me hyped. But where I get really is in like, honestly, just talking to people
and, so funny.
And like sales, where is where I feel like you get energized by it and you like can kill it and bring home big money in sales, that to where people are like, hell yeah, I'll throw millions of dollars at you. Like, fuck it. You don't know what you're doing, but I don't care because Chan is nice to me. And I'm like, so like two people will be like, okay, sounds good, rather than like, I love your business. And I'm like, oh my God, we suck.
I have experienced you have that response, which is super funny. But it's I feel like with every new day of growing this business together, I see how oddly brilliant our partnership is in balancing. Because
yeah,
hey, we just did the DISC profile and y'all, I was not happy with my results. But I am like the dreamer, like, no, it's, we got this. And like turning them into dreamers with us. Mm. But that's not always good. We need to have that balance. And I think it fits really well. It makes sense, like product and sales. But it's funny you said that that overwhelms you. Because I'm like, me, it's almost like that person's a feature. I'm like, how can I figure them out to sell them? Like, how can I get them to buy into
God.
Us?
God. So not how I think, but I'm glad you do.
That's hilarious.
I feel like we could probably have a whole episode on what we're learning about the DISC and management and S1, 2, 4. Like,
yeah.
We're not even through with that yet, but
we should totally do it.
This is like a management leadership kind of course. Not really, but like a experiment we're doing with a professional. And once we're done, I'm sure we'll have a lot of good insight.
I gotta give you a pat on the back because I've already seen you implementing some of the feedback and I'm like, oh, that's tight. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, basically what I took away, a lot of that, the negatives about my personality, I already knew, but I'm like, okay, this solidifies it. You know, like it's a test that you took and this is your negative things about you. Like you can be aggressive or not very keen to others' emotions, like a little bit lack of empathy. I'm like, damn, I kind of knew that, but all right, this is telling me to pick it up in those areas. Like,
yeah,
let me give it a shot.
It really made me wish, because I feel like we've done so many personality tests. I was like, why did we not do DISC? Because this makes a lot of sense in the workplace.
Well, I did DISC in college, and it was, I did not at all get from it what I'm getting from it now working with like a expert in how to apply it in work. I mean, before it was just kind of like, okay, dominance, influence. I don't remember what the S stands for because I'm very low on it.
Same. I was like, what is S and C?
S and C.
I don't have that.
I really don't remember what those two are, but I know I'm like very low on both.
Which we can talk about. We had to learn we need a lot of that on the team.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Obviously, some types of workers are but you know, if you have this type of personality, like for instance, both of our profiles came that's the entrepreneur's profile looks like ours. Ours are somewhat similar. Mm-hmm. And like people who start businesses, yeah, we fall in that category. I'm like, okay, makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yes, we do work for ourselves.
That's really interesting.
But it does not mean we don't have flaws that we need to make up for.
Big flaws. And that's okay. That's okay.
Cool. Well,
yeah, let's definitely do that.
We'll definitely talk more about that because I'm loving the experience of learning about it more. Mm-hmm. So we will have bad times.
Indeed.
And we'll have awesome times.
Fuck right.
Within work, within personal, like everything else, it's a flow. It's not always static. But that's okay. That's cool.
Give a speech.
Oh, that was funny.
We were...
That was not a joke. Okay, enough. I didn't realize it kept coming.
DJ Kenz.